Hello, great day, our dear seat supporters. I am back. Welcome to the globally recognized Can We Talk with Jewel podcast, proudly sponsored by fundraisingcup.org Ministries. I always want to remind you guys that this platform serves as a beacon of insightful discussion grounded in faith and honor to our Father. Here we discuss various topics related to supporting communities in all walks of life as we are attracting a more diverse audience with a shared passion for growing spiritually and applying these life-learned lessons to our day-to-day experiences. I want to encourage you all to continue to support this podcast, continue to donate to our ministry, and remember that every contribution helps. Okay. So you guys are very much familiar with our ground rules, and I am inviting back one of our dearest, dearest guests to the podcast and has helped many people in our ministry with our healing series. We have back here today Ms. Stephanie E. Scoopin, who helps people feel good in their lives through the works of Byron Katie. Welcome back, Stephanie. We're so excited to have you back today.
Thank you, Jewel. I'm really, really glad that that I can be back and spend this time with you. I really enjoy our discussions and you know, to think about the topics that you're bringing, which are really important topics for the listeners.
Absolutely. You're so skilled in what it is that you do, and you offer such great insight as to how to cope and heal from some of these issues and traumas, and that's what we're here to do with this podcast, is to be our authentic selves and also heal through some of the troubles that ails us. So I'm so grateful to have you as a guide and support to our ministry.
Thank you.
Okay, so today's topic is healing through dysfunctional families and family secrets. And the scripture to reflect on for today's podcast is Luke 12, verses 51 to 53. And it reads, "Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house, there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Yes, that is the scripture we will be focusing on with today's topic of dysfunctional families. And clearly you can see there that our Father has spoken about the division that is to come in terms of conflict in families. And a lot of it would be stemming from different beliefs, right? Different practices, different understandings, and respecting one another, right?
Right.
So with
right.
that said,
yes.
With that said, Ms. Lubin, I know many of us have a vague understanding of what a dysfunctional family is characterized by, right? Conflict, misbehavior, especially abuse, strong emphasis on abuse. And, you know, when relationships between family members become tense and individuals start to feel neglected and they're dealing with secrets and yelling and screaming. This negative behavior and treatment towards one another has a significant impact on individuals' mental health and how they deal with the public at large. So I wanted to kind of gauge your thoughts on how to cope with some of these issues within a family, and then I'll dive in a little bit more with some specific questions. But any information you have to share with our listeners would be great, Ms. Lubin.
Thank you, Jewel. And I just want to I want to preface this with, you know, this is the stress and the division and the, you know, hurt and pain that happens in families is one of the most painful that, you know, we come across, because, you know, as children and as partners and as parents also, we do have that expectation of being in a safe space. And, you know, and when that gets disappointed, and when there is dysfunction, it gets disappointed again and again and again. And sometimes, you know, it gets disappointed. The words and the actions don't match, you know, like, so the safety gets disappointed, and yet the words are like, you're safe. So all of these things are so hurtful and so confusing. And for a lot of children, it's basically impossible to get out of those situations. So I want to start this discussion with just a moment of like really deep compassion for everyone who finds themselves in a situation like that, because it is so hard to be there.
Yeah.
It is so hard to know what to do with that often. And I know that, you know, for a lot of children and even adult children of, you know, of families like that, it is really hard to find later in life that they're worthy, you know, to really start to believe in their inherent worth, because there has been so much confused messaging coming from parents, from uncles and aunts, you know, whatever it was. If you've grown up in a family like that, it might have been anything from sexual abuse, you know, physical abuse, or maybe just emotional abuse, and I'm saying just, because that alone can be incredibly hurtful and incredibly damaging.
Mm-hmm.
So with all the things that I'm saying, I just want to start with, you know, with that compassion and empathy and knowing that can be so hard and really, you know, trying to find a way to heal from that.
Yeah.
Can be so challenging.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
And so I think I would like to start with talking about the adults that come out of these, you know, out of a situation like that, and how it can be to find a way back to your parents, you know, to those individuals that really seem to be responsible for how much you struggle now that you're adult, now that you're trying to find a way in the world.
Yeah.
And I would like you to come back to Jewel's reading, that, you know, we find all the different members of the family pitched against each other in those situations. And to think that if we are believing in a loving God and in a supportive God, then these are situations for us to grow and to learn as individuals and also as humanity. So the basic qualities of Jesus are the love and the compassion that he had. You know, the non-judgment. And so the healing has to move into understanding where those parents came from and into compassion, because as long as we carry the anger as adults, we cannot let go.
we can't heal. So the forgiveness and the understanding is not for the parents, not for those people that, you know, that have placed you in a unacceptable environment for a child.
Yeah.
It is for you. It is for you. Forgiveness is always for the person who forgives, because it is the only way of moving past it. It is the only way of healing. And there are many ways that we can go there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the harder your environment was as a child, the more difficult it is going to be. And I'm not wanting to minimize that in any way.
Yes.
At the same time, it needs that. It needs that. That's the main piece.
Mm-hmm.
That the division is a fact of in this creation that God has placed us in. It is a fact, and it is a, but with a loving God, why would it be there other than for us to grow, for us to become more in the image of this loving God?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think the first thing I would like to say is, you know, you hear often from people, well, you just have to forgive and you just have to move on. And it's you know, to tell ourselves that we should just do that, it's not going to work. Not going to work. The only thing that's going to happen is that we blame ourselves not only for not having been good enough then, but not being good enough now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to find a community of people that are going through the same thing and who are also committed to healing. To have the support in you know, to have people who understand what you're going through around you, that you can come to with your questions. And then also, every time you manage to do a step of healing, that can cheer you on and that can say, yes, you've done that. And you're doing well. And because you have to keep rebuilding. You, like, you know, as a child who's come out of an abusive family home, you basically have to rebuild your nervous system. Because the confusion and the distrust and the, you know, the feeling of not safe, and being lied to, those are built into your nervous system. You're going to keep seeing them in your life. So you actually have to rebuild the way you see the world. And you know, it's a tall order. It is. And so it's really very important to keep remembering that you're doing it for yourself. You're doing this for yourself. It's not about, you know, your parents, although you will move into a great understanding of, you know, a lot of the times these things have come down, these things come down through the generation. And, you know, parents that are abusive often come from abusive parents, you know, from abusive households, or there was some other incident that triggered a dysfunction in them. And then they are, you know, we think that they had a choice, and you know, the truth of the matter is they didn't. They did not know how to do this any better. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like
mm-hmm.
the words of Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do.
Yes, amen.
You know? So I think that's
amen.
that's a really important piece in that journey, is to remember that although we think adults should know how to love their children, the truth of this reality is a lot of the time they don't.
They do not. They do not. And Ms. Lubin, I hate to interrupt you, but I wanted to touch on something that you mentioned regarding.
Go right ahead. Interrupt me anytime.
Regarding the finding a safe space.
Yes, good. Ask.
I know oftentimes, especially on this podcast, I'm very open and honest about my family and the toxicity that I'm dealing with and growing through. When you mentioned that safe space, it reminded me of a post, I guess, that I put up not too long ago, and it stated, "You are allowed to change the price of what it costs to access you."
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Say more, but please say more.
Yeah. And that hit me so hard because, you know, when I think about my particular situation, there were times where I felt like I was just dropped off inside of a group of psycho and sociopaths and trying to navigate and logically make sense of it. And sometimes at my own mental health was the cost of doing so and trying to make peace, right? Trying to find an understanding of, well, maybe that was their intention, or maybe I'm not understanding clearly. But the more that I try to accommodate and try to appease and work things out, it was costing me who I am at the core and tearing away at me. Eventually realized that I needed to one, find a safe space for myself, right? Both physically and mentally.
Right.
And then once I found that safe space, I could not allow people to jump in and out of it as they saw fit and feel the need to take control of my safe space.
Absolutely.
And I share that because that was definitely part of my growing process through through dealing with my family dysfunction and realizing you're not, when I say you, I'm talking about certain family members are not serving my highest good, and this constant conflict and discord is not just toxic for my mental space, but it will impact how I engage with others by carrying the weight of your unhealed and toxic engagements. So I've had to disengage. I've had to remove myself and say, this is my safe space. You're not allowed to jump in and jump out and tear away and do whatever you see fit in my safe space. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that is so very clear, Jewel. I mean, that is so very clear, and I love that you have been able to, you know, to see it for yourself and then also to pursue and maintain the safe space for yourself. And I think that is an absolutely really important part, that needs to happen as, you know, as you're starting to recognize that maybe you are not part of this whole thing. You don't have to be part of this whole thing, you know, this whole dysfunction. Because I think this is the first step that is needed to disentangle yourself, is that, you know, as you're no longer, like, say, 5, 6, 7 years old, but you're starting to be able to remove yourself a little bit emotionally from that dysfunction. To go like, well, I don't have to be like this. I don't want this to be my reality, right? So that has to be the first step, because a lot of children,
that it's really hard to distance yourself from a family when you're still young, right? Because this is,
yes,
you are dependent on this for shelter and food, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also the truth is that although a lot of families are potentially really harmful, the truth for a child often is that going out into the world by themselves could be even more harmful, potentially.
Yeah.
At that point. So, you know, noticing as you did, like, okay, I do no longer want to be part of this. I want to remove myself from this. And then find your safe space and refuse, and put up like a proper boundary to say, like, no, this is where I am. This is me and you can be over there.
Yeah.
And I need to keep myself safe. That is a very, very powerful and really important first step. I keep comparing this to, you know, like my profession is veterinary medicine. So when you look at an aggressive dog, you know, you don't try and make the dog behave while standing with it in the cage and have it attack you. You don't even try to understand the dog in that moment. First, you get out of the cage, right?
Yeah.
That's just a sane approach.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. And then once you got yourself safe and, you know, you like bandaged up your bites and you took your antibiotics and, right, got yourself into some shape, then you can stand outside the cage and you can look and you can think about, okay, do I want to engage with this dog again? Because you don't have to. And I want to engage with the dog to an extent that it will help the dog? And again, you do not have to. It is not a requirement that you have to do that. However, if you can turn around and, you know, like this is, I'm using the dog example just because it's not as emotionally involved as thinking about this when you have a, you know, dysfunctional family member.
Yeah.
But you can see that once you got yourself healed and then you look back into this cage where this dog is, she's like, you know, not having any meaningful connection with anybody because it's aggressive. And then you can start to see the fear behind aggression. You can see how this dog's been mistreated in the past, right? And you can maybe go like, okay, well, maybe I can help.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing is, as you're saying, absolutely is to get yourself out of the cage and see to yourself. That's the first step. So would you, I hear that you shared this on other podcasts, but how did you take that step? Like, so what was your safe space and how did you maintain the boundaries? Because I think that is a very, very good example for this.
Yes. Well, thanks for asking. The first thing that I did was I relocated from, I would say, 90% of my problems with toxic individuals. And that's not always easy to do because oftentimes we're grounded in places where we feel our comfort zone, right? Where we've grown up or around people that have been around us all of our lives, and it's not easy to just pick up and leave. But when you realize that by staying, it's ultimately affecting you in the worst way, right?
Exactly.
And you're not going to be the best you can be for yourself and for your own children. And you may just continue this cycle if you continue to allow it and allow it to infiltrate onto the next generation where your children start to think it's normal for that toxicity.
And so tell me, what did it feel like? What did it feel like once you
moved to another state, and what did it feel like to arrive in that other state? What did that feel like?
Oh, my goodness. Well, initially, when I arrived in another state, it was like a breath of fresh air.
Right?
That was the turning point or the page turner for me to realize that I definitely was surrounded by toxicity, because once I arrived somewhere else, I was at peace when I was by myself and having
right.
time to think and analyze and say, wait a minute, you've gotten rid of the clutter and look at how life is opening up for you, right?
Right.
Exactly. That was the initial, like, eye-opening experience for me to realize, you know, what I essentially was holding on to was making me more sick.
Exactly. And
so,
I think that is, Jewel, that is one of the reasons, I just want to just bring our attention to what you just said, is what I was holding on to was making
yeah.
me more sick. So there is the family that's dysfunctional, and there is me holding on to that. Right?
Yeah.
I can't change them.
Mm-hmm.
They are what they are. But what I can
yes.
change is, am I holding on to this?
Yes. And me always making myself available to them.
Mm-hmm.
And what I needed, the support, I would often have to deal with, well, right now is not a good time for me. You understand. And truly, I didn't understand, because I didn't understand how I was always there to assist and do things for them just at the sake of my own peace. And it wasn't always reciprocated.
Totally. So can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Why at the time did you make yourself available always? What did you get from them, or what did you want from them?
Yeah, it was more so what I wanted, right? I wanted,
right.
Because I wasn't getting what I wanted. I wanted support, definitely emotionally.
Right.
But what I was receiving was more toxicity. The more I craved the support, the more the more they thrived on seeing me deal with the toxic behavior that they were putting out, which was kind of confusing for me. And I think I had to kind of think back to my childhood and realize, where did this start for me in accepting this toxic behavior and continuing to hope that it's going to change, even though I'm not seeing any change, right? Because if I continue down this route, it's almost going to be like insanity, right? Kind of hoping people are going to be better, and you see that they're not getting any better, but you're still on that same hamster wheel and you're not getting anywhere.
Right. And that is, that's the hard part, right? Because being brought up in an environment like that, a part of us equates that behavior with shelter. You know, this is what shelter is like.
Yes.
This is what family is like, and you know, it's there is the this is the only love I know. So
right.
How can I, you know, let
you
go
hit it
off
on
it.
The nail. That
yes.
You hit right on the nail, Ms. Lubin. That is, that toxic love was the only love I knew, you know. So
exactly.
I did not.
Exactly.
It took a while for me to identify, this is not love. I'm not sure how or why my family and parents and loved ones got to this point of treating those that they claim to love this way, but I had to accept that this is not love. What this is,
right,
is
toxic. I'm gonna put like a very radical concept into this just for a moment. Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds absolutely outrageous. And that is that behavior is a flavor of love. It is the only love they knew as well. And it's not healthy love. It's
mm-hmm.
damaging. All of those things are true.
Self-serving.
It's self-serving, but so is you walking out on them, right? I mean, that's also
yeah.
self-serving. So it's okay, you know, like I can let other people be self-serving because I am intensely self-serving. I will look after myself first.
Yeah.
Because if
and
I don't
that was
do
another,
that.
That was another self-discovery, Ms. Lubin, is that I realized by entertaining so much of it, I was not loving on myself. And I
right, and you were not giving yourself, you were not giving yourself the love that you wanted because you
for
grew life. Up enough to
yes.
see, you know, this is not the love I want. This is not, this
yes.
is not, I don't like it. It doesn't make me feel good. I'm going to step out of it. So,
yes.
And, you know, what I would love to say here is, out of your experience with your family, and,
mm-hmm.
You know, out of your, like, say, let's call it awakening to your taking responsibility for yourself, seeing that situation clearly and then stepping out of it and pursuing a path of healing. Out of that has grown a resource for other people, your podcast and your fundraising
yeah.
network.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the ways of God, you know, this is how we make sense. Like, this is what grew you. Like, if you'd grown up in a cushy, you know, $10 million villa, most likely
yeah.
you would not be on a path to help other people.
You're right. Yes. You're right.
So there is, you know, this can be an appreciation, like a first step of healing to go like, yes, this was hard. Yes, this was horrible. Yes, I'm so
mm-hmm.
glad I'm out of there.
Yeah.
And this has helped me. This has formed me. This has become a purpose for me that I can, you know, bring spirituality, bring healing to others because I had to go through this.
Yes. Yes. It's
right.
That's so true, yes. And
yes.
I often say I was thrusted into my calling through my own healing.
Exactly.
And
exactly. Exactly.
You're
right?
Absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. And if we reflect on, you know, so I think that's so important to our healing. Like, it's so easy to, you know, because we're such creatures of habits. Our minds are creatures of habits. Our bodies are habitual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our nerves like run along the same path. Like our that they're run along mostly. So it's easy to be in that, to continue in that place of I'm being hurt. I'm being used. I'm being you know, I'm being in a toxic environment, even though you've actually moved yourself out of it. So it takes conscious effort to create different habits, right? And I'm sure you've experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one really powerful step is to disengage from the old anger, you know,
yeah.
towards that family is to see how this hardship has formed you and you know, is now beneficial for other people. You know, you are a healer now. And that's only because they abused you.
Yes, yes. It's true. And I think another thing that helped me tremendously in the process was releasing the need to feel validated by
mm-hmm.
these individuals and accept that I may be the villain in their story. and the peacemaker in mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh my goodness, that is so powerful. That is so powerful. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly right. You are, because their story needs you to be the villain. And they don't see it until they see it. And you can't, you know, you can shoot them as much as you like. Not going to change a thing. You can only change your story.
That's it. That's it. And I spent years going around in a loop trying my best not to be their villain. It's like, how much more of my heart and soul can I give? And they would just keep chipping away and creating these false narratives and manipulating truths and just really doing things that ultimately come down to just toxic behavior. And it was nothing, I have to accept that's not within my control. All right, I can't fix it.
You can't fix it. Nope.
And also,
I think it's also, you know, when you're saying like there is lies and toxic behavior. It's like we fall into believing that there is one truth, which is ours. You know.
Yeah.
And this is that's the thing. So and then we call other people lies. At the same time, you know, we have so many different experiences of truth between us.
Yeah.
You know, so again, it's like this is a way of changing our language and our perception of what is happening. Their truth is that you're the villain. Their truth is that you are hurting them. That is their truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And your truth is not the same, and it doesn't have to be the same, and it's great to see it, and it's really empowering to see that, like, okay,
I don't
believe that story, I don't like it, I'll put it over there, I'm going to move.
Yes.
And you're welcome to keep your truth, because I can't change your truth, I can only stick with mine.
Precisely, and there's nothing... I mean, I spent years trying to alter their story, trying to sacrifice my peace somehow change
to make them understand. To make them understand your story, just as they're trying to make you understand their story.
Exactly, and I came to the conclusion that no matter what I did, they were locked in to creating this toxic dynamic that I didn't want to be a part of.
Right, so, absolutely.
I did what was within my control, which was to say, I'm not engaging in this anymore.
Right.
And that makes me feel good.
Absolutely.
It's been quite a journey, but it's gotten better and more clear as time progresses that where I went astray in my healing journey was placing too much focus on others and trying to be the peace and to bring the peace at the sake of my own peace. And once I took accountability for that, it really changed how I moved forward and started living for God and my own peace. And it was revolutionary for me. And I'm hoping that this podcast too will help others and shed light on dealing with that kind of toxicity. The other thing I wanted to mention was that I also found out along the way that there were a lot of family secrets that weren't disclosed to me that impacted my relationship with family, impacted my financial stability. It impacted my growth as even a mother and wife and so forth. With my nucleus family. And, you know, sometimes when we're engaging with people, we don't know
the secrets that they hold in terms of history of mental illness or
Jewel, I would amend that statement. I would say that when we're engaging with people, we never know. We don't. We can't. We know ourselves, but we can't know them.
And we can't hold ourselves accountable for their secrets, but
no.
As I found things out along the way, it really totally changed the manner in which I handle them and probably would have handled them if I know ahead of time. And I wouldn't have been so headstrong in labeling out my facts over and over again because I would have realized this is not going to be effective with this person because of this family secret here. I got to that point now where I say, here are my facts and here are my boundaries. And you could write me a 4-page letter, and for the first time in 40-something years, I'm not engaging anymore. I'm not responding anymore because I said what I said, and I'm standing on what I said. And that took some growth because I used to go back and forth with these individuals on my facts, which is not something it's not something to negotiate, right?
No.
When you realize that they're feeding off of this strife, they're not trying to come to a mutual understanding for growth. They're trying to use that negative energy to feed their horror story of you, irregardless of whether what you're saying is true or not.
Right. So I just wanna say here that is not a prerogative of dysfunctional families at all. That is just a normal human way of interaction. You see it all the time everywhere.
Yeah.
There is rather going to be a discussion than really listening. I mean, there are leadership for high functioning heads of companies trainings that teach to be able to listen to people. So, what you're describing is probably worse in a dysfunctional family, but this is a normal shortcoming of human interaction.
Of human.
To want to be right and to want the other person to hear our point of view. And Jewel, I'm going to interrupt you. I'm not sorry. I think it's we're almost an hour in, and I think this is another whole big topic. And I think we should come back to this topic in another session.
Absolutely, absolutely. I know sometimes when we when we get into it, it gets
it opens one door after the other.
Quite a deep dive.
Absolutely.
But definitely, I do appreciate you sharing your insight. And I just want to close out with another scripture, if that's okay with you.
I would like to say one more thing. Say one more thing before you do that. Yes? Thank you. Because of the topic that we were talking today, I would like to just say there are a lot of groups for people who struggle that are all over the country that you can, where you can find support. Like one of them is, I'm sure everyone's heard about the Alcoholics Anonymous. The Alcoholics Anonymous are a huge network of different groups that like deal with alcoholism, with children or parents of alcoholics. They also have groups that help with, other mental health problems. Plus, they have resources of where, other groups that you can go to and where you can find support. Then there are, a lot of places there are shelters. There are in a lot of schools, like if you're listening to this and you're a child, a minor, I know that it's really hard to find a way out of a dysfunctional family if, you know, as a minor. Nevertheless, there are school counselors that at least can give you some support, some help, and they can listen to you and help you feel sane in a seemingly unsane situation. And I think it's really important to remember that if you choose to reach out, you don't have to be alone. You don't have to walk these paths alone. But that's just what I wanted to say.
Yes, thank you for adding that. And always, you guys know that this charity that I work with offers support to women and children, specifically that need support, whether it be financially, emotionally, and spiritually, of course. Definitely reach out to us, and we're here. We have someone on call that can talk to you and talk you through it. That's what we do. So thank you for that lovely reminder that there are support groups, and you know, if you are seeking a safe space, we're here for you. Definitely reach out. So with that said, I'm going to close out, because this topic can really go into another realm if we allow it. And I thank you as well for reminding me of our time, Ms. Lubin. But yeah, definitely reach out if you need any assistance. And I want to close out with this scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3-4. And it states, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." And so I want to thank Ms. Lubin for taking the time to give her perspective on this topic and looking into the interests of others, because that's so caring and supportive to our community to care about these issues and to help us heal. So thank you so much, Ms. Lubin, for your time. We did have a comment from a prior podcast from Advocate Durancho Mohale. Please forgive me if I'm not pronouncing your name correctly, but she said, "Oh, no, I missed out on such a great topic with Ms. Lubin. I'm going to definitely catch the other recordings on Spotify and listen to part 1 and 2 of the healing series." So I wanted to share that with you, Ms. Lubin. The audience is growing and appreciative of what you're offering with these series. So thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
We definitely appreciate you having you on to our podcast and dedicating this time. So, you know, in closing, I just want to remind you all that, you know, the healing starts from within. And so we first have to look at how we contribute to these issues in our families and our lives and address it the best we can with ourselves first before we deal with others. If anything I've stated today or Ms. Lubin has stated today has happened to you, or you feel like you would like to discuss it further or work with Ms. Lubin in a private meeting, please don't hesitate to reach out and shoot me a message. She does excellent one-on-ones. And again, don't let anyone steal your peace. You are much stronger than you think. And we will continue praying for each and every one of God's children to get through these obstacles. Thank you all for your time. And until we meet again, many blessings to you. Have a great day.
Thank you. Have a great day.